miss something? Catch up right here with Claire and Dane.
Dane.
Yes.
You have appointed yourself head...
Chief Hen, head florist. Head florist.
You're making my cat bouquet, apparently.
Cat bouquet that you'll be walking down the aisle with, or it's got to be displayed somewhere at your wedding.
Somewhere.
Head table in front of you. If you're not walking down with it in the aisle, it needs to be on your table.
If I walked with it down the aisle...
It was a bit heavy.
Well, not only that, it was wet.
It was wet, yeah.
My dress will get ruined.
Yeah, and probably a bit green too.
Yes.
I'll work on that, but the cat bouquet will be there as chief florist. Yeah.
Somewhere. Look, you've done so much for my wedding.
Yes, you're welcome.
That I have decided that I am going to thank you for everything you've done by helping you with your wedding.
Okay, now look, I don't want to stamp on your feet or whatever else. I got that saying wrong, but our weddings are very, very different.
Yes.
Your wedding is a little bit larger. You've got a lot of people going.
Mm-hmm.
I've got less than 30.
Yes.
So there's not a lot of roles at my wedding.
Oh, there wasn't many at mine either, but you appointed them anyway.
No, but you already had bridesmaids and everything else. So I was just joining in. Whereas mine, there's none of that. Like, there's just going to be me and Christy and our family and that's it.
Yes. But there is one person that you needed for a wedding to be viable.
I know, and now I had no idea where you're going with this, and now I know exactly what you're about to say.
You need a celebrant.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Look, thanks. We've already got one.
That's okay though, because I've self-appointed myself, like you've self-appointed yourself. So I've had a look online. Look, I've still got to get approval from the bosses because I have to complete a course to be able to become a celebrant. But I will do my best to be able to get my celebrant license before your wedding.
Yep.
And I will help you with becoming married. I will be your celebrant for the day. You're welcome. I didn't have a choice, neither do you.
Well, this is a bit more of a bigger role than Chief Hen, don't you think?
No, I don't think so. No, you've got Chief Hen, florist and photographer, was it? So you've got three roles. I'm only doing one.
But it's the biggest one. Look, It's a lovely gesture, and I do appreciate it. But
are you being ungrateful?
Yes.
Look, you're welcome. Okay. Look, there's still more to figure out. You don't have a choice in this. You can't say no. But yeah, I will do my darndest to be able to become your celebrant. I've just got to make sure work will pay the celebrant fees.
Not only that, you'll have to find out the date of the wedding.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll keep it
a
secret.
It out.
Yesterday, Claire, I got sent a photo of our garage door at home. Fiance Christy was leaving for work, and it wasn't closing properly. It was all sort of skewy.
Yeah, you showed me a photo. It was kind of like it had come off its rails or something.
Yeah, exactly right. And I asked her, I was like, did you hit it? She's like, no, I didn't hit it, but it wasn't coming down. So and she had to get to work. So she moved the most expensive things into the house and locked that door and sort of left the garage open.
Right.
I freaked out. You saw me freak out.
Yeah, like, you ran straight home. You're like, there's Christmas stuff in there.
Yeah, there's Christmas stuff in there. I've got like a bunch of DVDs and things. And I was like, I just want to be there just in case, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I went home to try and fix it. We're trying to get a hold of someone to come and fix it. I was like, I'll just have a crack. And it just came out of its runners.
Yeah,
so it was skew-iff, so you just had to level it up and then sort of pull it across. So I did that, sort of play with the button a little bit.
Did you fix it?
And I fixed it.
Oh, awesome.
So the garage came down. As it was coming down, I realized that the door to get into the house was also locked. So I was then stuck in the garage.
Hang on. Don't you have like an internal button in the garage to open the door or something?
Yeah, but I didn't want to open again just in case it wouldn't go back down. So here I am in the garage for about 5 minutes going, oh, no.
Did you have your phone on you?
No, I didn't. So I was shaking the door trying to get the little bolt lock undone. And then I thought, oh, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to have to try and hope to God it will close again.
Yeah.
So I go to the door. And I get ready. Do you know how sometimes you do the sneaky commando roll under the door to get out?
Yeah.
I was like, I'll only open it enough to get out my belly to get out. So I did it, and then I stopped it maybe about half a meter off the ground.
See, that worries me. I'm always worried that for some reason it'll drop back down.
Yeah. So I did that anyway, and I got back out. It was like, phew. Ran back around through the door that was open, unlocked the door that was through the house, the garage, and then I was like, fingers crossed this thing closes again, push the button and it like did the little gunk fold and then it just went and then it closed. I was like double fist pumping at the front of the house. His car drove past like, what is he doing? Is this guy double fist pumping out the front?
Who double fist pumps on a Tuesday morning?
This guy does. This guy. The Queen's Baton Relay is making its way through Griffith, which is fantastic.
In the lead exciting.
Up to the Commonwealth Games, it leaves from the Exes Sports Oval at about 4:30 in Spears Street on Sunday. And there is a full track you can sort of stand along and cheer on.
Yeah.
All the locals will be carrying the Queen's Baton.
And one of the first people who's going to be carrying that Queen's Baton is Claire. She joins us on the phone right now. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Now, Claire, how exciting.
Yeah, it's really cool. It obviously doesn't happen that often, and it's just great to be one of the people who gets to hold it.
Absolutely. Now, Claire, how exactly did you get nominated for this?
Mum actually nominated me. She tends to do that a lot. So she sent email details, and, that's why I'm here now.
Now, you are also, you might be known around the area as a bit of a cricketer. You grew up here playing cricket in the area, and you're currently one of the rookies for the WBBL team, Sydney Thunder, and you're in Canberra at the moment.
Yeah, you got that right. Pretty cool experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long have you been doing all this rookie stuff for?
Literally only started last year, around November, I think. Yeah.
Has it been a fun experience so far?
Yeah, it's been great to getting to know the team and travelling a bit. So, yeah, it's been cool.
And what was it like when you found out not only were you nominated but selected to be a baton bearer for this?
I was kind of a bit shocked. Like I said, it doesn't happen that often, and just being one of the people who get to hold it, kind of showcasing the sports and even proving Griffith as like a sporting community, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's just an honour being able to carry it.
Yeah, exactly
now,
right.
Claire, I do believe you were starting this all off, and you're starting at the Griffith Exe Sports Club. Do you know how you got chosen as like the beginning bearer?
To be honest, I have no idea. I think maybe they just drew it out of the hat. I'm not really sure. I think I might be the youngest. That may have something to do with it.
Yeah, right.
So maybe just the luck of the draw.
Yeah, well, it's pretty special.
Yeah.
Now, there is also going to be an awesome community celebration from 5 o'clock at the Burleigh Griffin Community Gardens as well. This is all happening on Sunday. It is the QC 2018 Queen's Baton Relay, the first baton bearer. Claire Murray, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's been fun.
And our favourite man on the ground, Dean McCarthy, joins us live from LA. Good morning, Dino.
Oh, g'day, guys. Good morning. I tell you what, it's a really fun day to be in Hollywood today because they have announced the Oscar nominations.
Ooh.
And this is the big one.
Excellent.
The one we've been waiting for. And the best part of all, our Aussie, Margot Robbie, nominated for Best Actress for her role in I, Turner. My best friend, Justin Hill, caught up with her on the red carpet in Sydney last night and asked her, why was it important for her to play this role? Have a listen to this.
It really was. I just saw in these characters a lot of human behaviour. These people seem to be full of contradictions like we are, and I so appreciate seeing that in script as opposed to a very two-dimensional, that's the good guy, that's the bad guy, that's the funny one, that's the smart one, you know, it's people
spinning it on its head, really, isn't
it? Yeah, there's just so much more to people. I don't think anyone ever really thought there was more to Tonya than just the headline, the punchline.
Interesting stuff there to hear from Margot Robbie, mate.
Mm.
But look, Justin Hill spoke to Margot Robbie. What is it that he has that you don't? Because she's blown you off a couple of times now, hasn't she?
Oh, twice in 2 weeks, Margot Robbie has stood me up on the red carpet.
What?
Golden Globe, said the SAG Awards. I've waved at her, Margot, g'day. I tried to be as Aussie as I could. G'day, g'day. Nothing. She totally walked past me, ignored me. But Juzzy, he's got the gift of the gab. He's got the golden touch, the Midas touch. So, you know what? One of us got her, and it was him, on the day of the Oscars, so he wins.
Yeah, I think we need to delve into this further. Have you done something to Margot, or have you said something around town that's gotten back to her about you, Dino? What's going on there?
I don't know. I've interviewed her before. It was so great. We interviewed each other. Oh, I interviewed her when she was working with Will Smith on that movie. Oh, I think it was called Focus.
Focus, yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have thought that we're both Aussies, you know, that whole entire thing. Nope. I don't know what it is.
Dino.
Not into me at all.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I feel like there's more in it. I'm going to get in touch with her management
and find out. If we speak to her, we'll ask, Dino.
Yeah, exactly right. And Camila Cabello, she's done something that I didn't think was possible.
oh my goodness, this is really exciting news for her. Of course, she was one of the, well, she was the main girl in Fifth Harmony. She has broken a 15-year record today that was first set by Beyonce. She has the number one song and the number one album in America today. First time in 15 years that's been done. The last time was Beyonce with Crazy in Love, and her album was Dangerously in Love. So that's absolutely huge. It was risky to leave that very popular group, but I tell you what, it's paid off.
Yeah, Apparently it has. Hey, Dino, thank you so much.
Love it. Bye, guys.
Dane, robots. They are, I guess, a thing that we've seen in movies for years, but are now actually coming into real life and real situations.
Are you talking more about artificial intelligence sort of robots, not so much ATMs? Because technically an ATM's a robot.
I wouldn't classify in today's technology an ATM a robot.
What is it then?
It's just an ATM.
So it's a robot.
So I guess I'm talking about artificial intelligence.
You're talking about the ones that can walk and think for themselves.
Yeah, may not be able to walk, but they, even if they can't think for themselves, they're talking to people, they have proper responses.
Like Google Home.
Yeah, Google Homes, I guess. No, it's not quite.
Keep going.
You're confusing the situation. So look, this particular robot that I'm talking about was working in a local supermarket last week.
Yes.
But it only lasted a week before it was fired.
A robot got fired?
Yes. So no, we're not talking about ATMs. No, we're not talking about Google Home. We're talking about robots as you imagine them, like walking, talking robots. May not necessarily walk, but has some sort of human features.
Where was it working?
So it was working at a supermarket.
Right. And what was it doing there?
Well, its nickname was Fabio, and it was employed as part of an experiment to run for a BBC program to see if it could integrate with human shoppers.
Right.
So he was placed in a flagship shop in Scotland, and its job was to interact with customers through jokes, greetings, and help them locate things within a store.
Okay.
So if you've ever been to one of the big big city shopping centres where they've got the, you know, find it here map things, you know how you've got those big screens?
Oh, is it sort of there?
It's almost like one of those, except it's made to interact with
you. Rightio. Yep.
So this is what the chain shop person said about this robot. We thought a robot was a great addition to the to show customers that we're always wanting to do something new and exciting.
Yes.
Now, apparently he started out strong.
Yep.
So he was saying hi to customers, making jokes and telling them where to find things. But it soon became clear that the cyborg wasn't going to be replacing any human workers anytime soon.
Yeah.
Shoppers started getting frustrated when it couldn't answer their questions necessarily. So,
you
know, where's this particular brand of this particular pasta sauce, you know? Yeah. And when it was asked where the beer was, the robot replied, it's in the alcohol section.
Well, that's technically that's correct.
But where is the alcohol section?
Yeah. Yes.
So Fabio was developed by a university and it's officially called a ShopBot.
Okay.
But it struggled to deal with the ambient noise in the store as well.
So I couldn't quite hear what people were saying. So it's not his fault. It's the developer's fault.
So look, Fabio lasted a week.
Got fired.
I'd say they're going back to prototype stage now.
Which is fair enough. But instead of actually firing the robot, couldn't have they just turned it off and taken it away?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I guess that's technically firing it.
Then there wouldn't have been an article written about it either, would there?
No. Dane, now we're both in long-term relationships. We both have fiancés.
Yep.
But when you were back in the dating scene, did you ever go on any dating service kind of other apps or websites?
I only used Tinder. I never used Plenty of Fish or eHarmony.
Never used any paid ones?
RSVP. No, no, no. I do know someone who did.
Any luck?
Bought some credits. No. I think he went on a couple of dates, but that was it. No, nothing came out of it. But I was just a Tinder guy.
Well, look, some of those paid-for sites can be a little bit pricey.
Yeah, and can be tricky to understand too.
Yeah, but then you've got the next tier, which is luxury dating sites.
I've seen, like, The Millionaire Matchmaker?
Almost, yeah. Mm, yeah, exactly.
I love that show.
A man is suing a particular luxury dating service, though.
Okay.
Because he was charged, get this, $500,000 or over $500,000 Australian dollars. For six dates.
Wow, they're expensive dates, almost $100,000 a date.
And still failed to find love.
Oh no.
Can you imagine the chicks getting those dates? Like $100,000 spent on a date. What would you do? There must have been so many
lavish helicopters, bachelor style dates.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, while some people use online matchmaking sites and others prefer swiping right, like yourself, for highly successful individuals, navigating the dating world can obviously mean that sometimes it's a little bit harder to find someone that you want in your caliber as such.
Yeah, that, and if you've got money, it's hard to know if the person's with you for the money or for you.
Yes, and so a lot of the time people hire help, whether it be an app or you know, there's actual matchmaking people. But this guy, businessman Paul is his name, signed up to this matchmaking site and agreed to pay $43,000 Australian dollars in installments for 2 years' worth of dates.
Okay.
Now, by the time he completed in October, he'd gone on just six dates.
Right.
And had found himself shelling out that massive $500,000 plus.
That's a lot of money for dates.
Yeah. So altogether, he paid per date $88,000.
Yeah, right.
Now, he's suing this particular company for a full refund.
Good.
Can you imagine, though? Wouldn't the company spend the money by now? It would have been like, yep, no, I'll take that luxury yacht too, thanks.
Yeah, it's a hard one. And, like, if you sign up for these things, if you sign up for a dating website or that type of thing and you're willing to pay that sort of money, there's no guarantee in love. What? And I think that's a lesson here is, like, you just because you have money doesn't mean you can buy love. You still got to have that connection with someone.
And but technically it's still, he's trying to buy love.
And but it's still, there's that. Is this person in love with me or my wallet?
Yeah.
And there's the fact that you can't force someone to like you, even if you do have money, you know? He could be an absolute arsehole for all we know.
Dane.
Yes.
What's the most you've spent on a date?
It's 17 past six. You got to go with Claire and Dane on Hits.